Molly Keck, and so I'll be presenting half of it and then I'll turn it over to her. But talking about specifically organic pest management, concentrating on those fire ants, that's the most of our research entails looking at those fire ants, so we're going to be looking at that. We're in the big urban area, so I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. Molly Keck's going to be in San Antonio, and then Wizzy Brown is in Austin. So we deal with quite a few homeowners as well as pest control technicians, and everybody wants to know those organic methods of control. In our urban areas in Texas, not everybody wears that cowboy hat and boots. We do have some very, fluent people there, I guess, that are very into striving for the perfect body. So they're looking at all those plastic surgery methods, as well as there's fitness centers on every corner, as well as those taking in organic foods, and that will translate as using those organic pesticides as well. They're definitely not concerned with cost. They just want to have some sort of organic control method. And we're competing a large part with our organic gurus that have media spots, so television interviews every single week, as well as newspaper articles and radio spots where clientele were able to call in and suggest things, and then everybody jumps on that bandwagon for that organic control method. So there's also in North Texas, they're trying to start this Texas Organic Research Center. So our big organic guru there, our dirt doctor, wants to start this. He said that we haven't been doing our jobs pretty much. Universities are not being very responsive to the subject and profitable, sustainable agriculture, horticulture, and using those lowest methods of toxicity. And so he wants to start this nonprofit group. He does have two cities in North Texas that are going to have this research center as soon as they do raise those funds. So they do want to provide means for organic programs, saying that they work better than chemical approaches, as well as those organic solutions are less costly, and then they're going to be safer for sustaining the environment. So that's his website down there. Some pesticides that are going to be prohibited by this center are going to be all those neurotoxins, our carbamates, our pyrethroids, our organochlorines, as well as PBO. And then also that toxic organic pesticide pyrethrum that they're very much against. But the ones that are acceptable are going to be methods of baking soda, as well as boric acid, cinnamon products, citric acid products, diatomaceous earth, garlic pepper tea. So they do overlap with all of those 25B products that are the minimal risk pesticides that are demonstratively safe for intended use. So most of those do overlap with this list, and so our goal is just to go through these and see what are going to be effective for fire ant management. Some that we have tried this year are molasses, as well as looking at Equal products, and then the garlic concentrate. For the molasses trial, this was set up in Austin, and there were 20 plots established with 5 active mounds in each plot. And then those plots were measured, and they were arrayed from longest to shortest and blocked off, and so then the treatments were randomly assigned within the treatment blocks. And for the treatments, we had our untreated control, as well as the liquid molasses, dry molasses, and then the Gardenville Antifuego soil conditioner. So it's not labeled for fire ant control specifically, it's a soil conditioner. And it does contain the molasses as well as the citric acid. And then our safer fire ant control containing the D-limonene. For this test, at 2 days we didn't find any significance, but then at 21 days the antifuego and the safer did separate out. Across the board there was numerical differences, so the antifuego and then the D-limonene product did have less fire ant activity, less mound activity. For the aspartame trial, again, 20 plots were established, each containing 5 active mounds. And for this one, looked at the no treatment as well as the orthene dust, and then dusted the Equal at 1 tablespoon per mound. And you can see that the orthene did eliminate that fire ant activity. However, the aspartame was very close mostly related to the untreated control. So didn't see very much control, just sprinkling the tablespoon of Equal on there. So now there's the thought behind it, if you mix it with water and then drench it, will that have any effect on those fire ant mounds? For the garlic concentrate trial, this was conducted in Clarksville, and this product is sold as a mosquito barrier. So in order to repel those mosquitoes, it's mixed at 12 ounces per gallon. It does contain garlic as well as citric acid, potassium sorbate, and the clients that were using this as a mosquito repellent were also saying that it was repelling fire ants in their backyard, so they wanted to look at if it did have any sort of control on the fire ants. Again, 20 plots were established, each one containing 10 active mounds, just tremendous mound activity in this hay meadow. And we tested three different concentrates of the garlic at 4 ounces, 6 ounces, 8 ounces, and a water and a dry control. And you do see that pile of dead ants, so it was killing them, and that was going to be primarily at the 8 ounce concentration. So it did separate out at 3 days. As well as then again at 28 days, there was no separation between any of the concentrates. Looking at cost of this product, including shipping costs, at 8 ounces per mound, it's going to be about $7.50. So I don't know if that's the optimal treatment, but I'm sure that we would have some people willing to try it. Looking at 4 ounces, it's going to be about $3.25 per mound. So I will turn it over to Molly.
Well, I have also done some research with fire ants using different organic methods, because that's what homeowners really seem to want to do. And the project that I did came about when a school IPM coordinator came to me and said, I need a fast, safe treatment that I can use on my football fields when there's a fire ant mound on the 50-yard line and kids have to play on the field at 6 o'clock that evening. So what can I use that I don't, that law does not require that we have a re-entry interval for? And all of the products that we used can be purchased by homeowners. You can just find off the shelves at, you know, Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot. We used two different sites. At each site, we had an untreated control and then a water-treated control, kind of a negative control. In the site one, we used a boric acid dust, diatomaceous earth, and pyrethrin drench, orange oil at 20%, and the spinosad granular bait and amdro granular bait. At site two, we used a green light product, which was just a bunch of oils, thyme, rosemary, clove, a concentrate of that. Again, the diatomaceous earth and pyrethrin, orange oil now at 100%, the spinosad concentrate and acephate, which was kind of our positive control. So we treated at all the recommended rates. Drenches were either half a cup to 1 cup of concentrate per gallon of water, dust at the recommended rates, which were about 1/4 cup per mound, and then baits at about 1/4 cup per mound. So we just treated individual mounds in this situation. And we tested, determined pre-treatment activity and then post-treatment activity at just 6 and 24 hours, because we just wanted to look at something that worked quickly in this project. And to determine activity, we used a Likert scale where we would disturb the mound, stick it with a stick or something, and then wait 10 seconds and estimate how many ants poured out of that mound, 0 through 4. So on site 1, after 6 hours, we really didn't see any significant decrease in activity in any of the treatment groups, but with the spinosad granular bait and then the orange oil at 20%, one day after treatment, we did find significant decrease in activity compared to the untreated and the treated controls. And some people may notice that a bait, it's working really quickly, and that's something that we found in research, that spinosad granular bait works very, very quickly, which is kind of one of its downfalls. It doesn't quite make it all the way through the colony often, and so many times they'll just rebound. They die real fast and then they come back because that queen hasn't died and she's still laying all those eggs. On that site too, at 6 hours post-treatment, the acephate, of course, knocked the fire ants down, but we also found that the bioganics and the spinosad concentrate significantly decreased the fire ant activity compared to the untreated controls and the water-treated controls. And then 24 hours post-treatment, we could add to that the orange oil at 100%, 1 cup of that mixed with a gallon of water. So kind of in summary, what options do we have when homeowners call and they want to know how can we control fire ants organically? Drenches, there's a lot of different options, but drenches are expensive, they're labor intensive, you have to find those mounds, they don't control the ones that you don't see, and you don't know if you've drenched that mound, if you've gotten all the way deep down to the queen, or if she was over off to the side and you never, you didn't actually get to the root of the problem. You got to kill the queen to kill that colony. For granulars, we don't have any options, true granules that you put down on the soil and then water in. Baits, there's that one commercial option with the spinosad products. And for dust, there are a couple of different options, but none are actually really effective. With all the drenches, D-limonene is effective. The higher the concentration of D-limonene of orange oil, the better it's going to work. But you have to really watch out. When we did this project, we used it on soccer fields. And we came back, I came back about a week or so later, the coordinator called me and said, you got to come see my soccer fields. Everywhere we had drenched with the oils, we had big dead spots in the grass. So you will get leaf burn and you will get root burn. So don't, you know, use it in your wonderful veggie garden. Boiling water is also effective. Other research projects that we've done have shown that. But it has to be boiling, a gallon of boiling water, just bubbling up. And it'll also, of course, kill things and it's dangerous. The Spinosa drench was effective. We were a little surprised with that, but it was effective at about 4 tablespoons per mound. Don't know, though, if after a month will they pop back up again or not in that same spot. And then that bioorganics, the different plant oils, the thyme, rosemary, the clove, was effective as well. But we did show some leaf and some root burn with that. And there has been other research done. My research using the diatomaceous earth and the pyrethrin drench didn't show any effectiveness, but there has been other research done by others that show that it can be somewhat effective. For dust, diatomaceous earth, you hear all the time, put that on fire ant mounds, use that for to kill your insects. And with fire ants, it's not that effective because the mound is just too moist, too humid. They're not able to pick it up as a flower-like substance and let it abrade their exoskeleton, so it's just too wet inside their fire ant mounds. You really have to add it with something else. And boric acid, I found, really isn't effective. You need to add it to some sort of an attractant for them to be able to pick it up, because they're not going to ingest it too much otherwise. And baits, there's a couple of different spinosad-based baits that are out on the market now. Research that we've done with it shows that it seems to work a little bit better in the fall than it does in the spring, at least in Texas. And it is one of the only, it's the only homeowner available product that you can use in a vegetable garden, which a lot of homeowners like to hear. The only problem with it is that, again, it knocks out the colony and doesn't quite make its way all the way to the queen to knock her or her sisters out. And then for indoor baits, there are a couple options for indoor baits. A lot of people use this homemade remedy using boric acid and about 1 tablespoon mixed with a cup of some attractant, mint apple jelly or peanut butter or Karo syrup, something like that, to attract the ants to it. And then when they ingest it, they ingest the boric acid. So for more information, more in-depth information about some of the organic-based research information or university-based organic research we've done on fire ants, we have our fire ant website, fireants.tamu.edu, and then we've also set up a more interactive modules with the eExtension fire ant website as well. And so with that, we'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
Yes, for those that do want to pursue an organic method of control of fire ants in an urban situation, mm-hmm. What level of control, percentage-wise, are they willing to accept as being successful?
Most homeowners that we deal with, they want 100% control. They want them out of there.
So then they're probably going to do this and then do something else afterwards?
Right. Probably. And if they really want a true organic method, what we'll probably recommend is that they do individual mound treatments, but then maybe go back with that spinosad bait and do, you know, a multi-step type of effort. Because one thing, you're not gonna knock them out with a one-shot program. Yes, sir.
Have you determined if you can kill enough workers to eventually have the colony collapse so that the queen doesn't actually cause a rebound?
No, we haven't. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't suspect that you could do that, because she's, you know, there's multiple queens in our colonies in Texas, and each one can be producing over 1,000 eggs a day. So it's only a matter of time before, you know, that mound just really pops back up again and gets just as active as it was 3 weeks before you treated. Yes, sir.
Molly, and I'll give Howard Garrett credit on this one. I shouldn't admit it. he was given the hot water treatment recommendation yesterday when I was in Dallas, and he was warning people against it because of the burn factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if when we talk hot water, if we almost should have to have an asterisk, wear proper protective clothing or something like that when we would, like an insecticide, because he referred it back to the McDonald's lawsuit.
Right.
If we're recommending hot water, I wonder if we need to kind of make sure we specify there is, you can burn yourself. I mean, it's common sense, but.
Right. Well, a lot of homeowners, I don't think, have common sense. I've gotten calls before where I've gotten a call before where a woman called and she wanted to use gasoline. And she asked, well, how much gasoline did I need to pour under this mound that was underneath her deck? Well, she's going to catch her house on fire. So, yeah, we have to be careful with some of the things that we tell them. Yes, sir.
Can you use grits?
Yes. Grits have been used. And they've been found to be ineffective. Yeah, that's what everyone wants to use. Okay. All right.